We are recording another podcast and we are going to talk about gender, but also we are going to question the gender and provide a little bit information about gender culture. For this podcast, we host Masharu, who is an artist from the Netherlands. Hi, Masharu.
Hi, Adam. Thank you so much for introduction and inviting me here. I'm glad to be back to the Office of Diversity NGO. Also, I'm very grateful and happy about the event that we had a few days ago here in Diversity NGO with the subject of questioning gender.
Yes, I wanted to ask, is this your first visit to Armenia? So you have already answered. But yeah, I want to know which is the reason you decided to come to Armenia.
I'm here indeed for an exhibition in Modern Art Museum of Yerevan. And this exhibition is a part of International Queer and Feminist Festival, curated by Suzanne Gulemirian in collaboration with Femme Library Armenia. The exhibition is called Gender Corpora. My work for the exhibition is called Non-Binary. 2 years ago, when I was in Armenia, in Yerevan, for the exhibition in the same museum, subject of my work was connected to Earth, and in particular with the focus on eating Earth. This was also a subject of our previous podcast. The title of the exhibition was Motherland. And then we started a dialogue with Suzanne because I said it's important for me to be presented in gender-neutral language. And already for a while I have been using in English gender-neutral pronouns, they, them. And I work as an artist. This is my full-time activity. And press writes about my work. So in many different countries, I asked politely, and then sometimes I had to really put pressure to broadcast about my work or to talk about me in gender-neutral language. It was not easier. Even in Europe, so I live in the Netherlands, and I worked sometimes with press, which says that they're queer-friendly. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was busy with it for a while. I did get quite some press, created publications about me in gender-neutral language, in different languages, in Dutch, in English, in French, even in Russian, as Russian is very gender-specific language. We decided 2 years ago to organize an event with Femme Library in the Red Site to have a conversation about non-binary gender in, I guess, also focusing a bit on the subject of language, mm-hmm. but not only. And afterwards, Suzanne called me last year and she said that she wants to make an exhibition on the subject of gender. She wanted to invite me to make a work on the subject of non-binary. So it kind of became a part of my art practice, but not really. And I found this invitation very interesting, very important to accept, of course, but also to create such a work. And then Suzanne proposed that I could record a video with myself talking about my own experiences, like I did during the workshop, for example. But then I thought, wow, but maybe it's interesting to go a bit deeper into the subject. Mm-hmm. I did workshops on the subject before and in other places also, not only in Armenia. And of course, what I often heard, like, for example, I did also these workshops in Russia when I was there in like 2021. Mm-hmm. What I heard that people would say, oh, but this is, this non-binary gender is a new Western thing, it's not from our culture, it's nothing interesting for us. And I don't understand it because it is non-binary, it is a modern term, mm-hmm. it's an English language, it is present in contemporary discourse in Europe and USA, so like I don't understand. Sorry?
Like being vegan.
True, yes. So I do understand that people, I mean, it's not only in Russia, but other places I've been to, like, for example, I worked also in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. So people do see this type of trends as kind of ongoing colonial process as well. Mm-hmm. So I understand that there is resistance. But what I found important to show or to look within this project, it is into existing historical records about non-binary genders, which are present throughout different cultures across the globe and present for centuries. So this is really not a new thing. It has been existing in many, many places on Earth, and it has been also erased by various colonial processes. So my focus on of this work became something else than my personal experiences, but this research into scientific literature mostly. I worked with a colleague who did a master's in gender studies, so they looked for different literature. And they actually allocated about 80 different gender categories which fall outside of binary of men and women. And what we noticed is that it is mentioned in literature, but it's difficult to find in-depth information. There are some genders which are very well known, like hijra, for example, in India. And they are still existing. They have been there for centuries. They have been also having very important societal positions. But after colonial processes, they became marginalized. But this gender identities recognized today also by authorities in India. So this is a very well-known case, and there is the whole book written about hijra in English. So it's possible to access. But for some folks that we researched, like for example, I can mention Chukcha, and you probably heard the name of this people, this nation. They live on the territory of Russian Federation, and apparently they also had a gender identity outside of binary. If this is practiced today or not, we couldn't find. We couldn't also find a lot about this, but there are various literature sources that do mention it. So then we prepared a work, which is a map, and it pinpoints a different folks that have that indeed had culturally a gender identities outside of binary, and we collected and prepared just very short texts about them together with scientific references. So if people want to read more, they can access, and it's clear where we took the information from. It was not an easy process because, of course, a lot of this work is written by white Western anthropologists. I also felt that there is particular problematics in presenting information in this way or collecting this information, because it also resembles some kind of colonial process as well. At the same time, I did find important to do it because I heard this argument so many times of, like this being a contemporary Western thing, non-binary, and I just really, and I mean, it was also often in the groups or communities of people who never heard about even hijra or two-spirit, that like they would never hear these terms, and when I would start speaking about it, they would be like, no, this is not true, it cannot be true. So showing this visualization and this variety on the map, I do think that in particular places, at least places I used to go to myself, can be interesting and also powerful. While at the same time, I do think that there is something problematic about it as well. And we did write a text about non-binary because I was also doubting about the term non-binary. At some point, I didn't want to use it as a title of the exhibition. And I named it a few times, so Susanna was quite tired of me changing the title of the work. So by using the word non-binary, we all the time confirm existence of binary. That's why it was not easy, but at the same time, it is important to acknowledge that a lot of people did find comfort in this work. And even for me, when I was really talking to press, as I said, about gender-neutral language, it was easy to say I identify as non-binary. So I also did find comfort in this work at some point. But I also don't know that for me, what is primary is the practice.
it what was primary. So it was important for me to be referred to the way I want to be referred to. And it felt also empowering for me. And for example, if I would be born and raised in the society where gender-neutral language would be in place, where we wouldn't have letters M and F in the passport, where there would not be this division into boys and girls at school and going like to different classes, I don't think I would make a project about non-binary identity.
So you have provided proofs that we have a lot of gender expressions in the world, even if we don't know about that. For example, hijras or chukchas or the others. On the map, which is available on the on internet and everyone can find it, we can see a lot of proofs about a lot of gender expressions. You have already answered my questions I have prepared for you, actually, but I would like to ask you the main mission of your work, because okay, you have your practical missions, but personally, which are your goals you want to achieve, like doing this work or the next works, like your activity, like all of your actions should have goals. I think, like, for example, I have my goals. So if you have some goals you would like to share with us, maybe the others who are listening to us right now, they can share your ideas, they can they would like to join you, like they can connect you and they would help you, I don't know, or even not help, but just texting you. And yeah, tell me about your personal goals. And also I would like to know, how much time did you pay for doing this research and making this map?
Right, so I wrote as a part of the work, there is a little, I guess it's a booklet or a small publication where the map is available, and an illustration and all the scientific references, but also text about non-binary, where we talk about what is non-binary, the look into problematics of using this word as well, in the into the comfort of using this word. But this also has actually my personal motivation as a statement. And I write about my rather personal experiences of growing up in a place where the language is very gendered. So this was Russia, and it's not only that people talked about me in the way that I didn't feel right about, but I had to talk about myself in this way.
Yeah.
Right? It's because it's a different level than just pronouns. It's really, I went to the shop, or I'm tired. This is gendered.
Yeah.
And for me, just a few years ago, first of all, when people started using gender-neutral pronouns, so they them in English for me, I was really empowered. And then I felt even more disempowered going back to Russia and just using this language. So I spent quite a lot of time thinking of how, first of all, how can I myself get out of it? How can I talk about myself in a way that I feel empowered? And how can this language actually be gender neutral? And then I found ways to do it. So, I'm going back to my motivation. I wrote as well about that I had this dream since childhood. I was having a dream that I'm writing a book in gender-neutral language. And this was my dream as a kid. So, it is quite amazing now that I found myself in a situation where this conversation, this discourse is actually existing. And I feel empowered and happy and grateful to be a part of this discourse. Sometimes I feel a bit pity that I feel I wish I would be born later. Like that I would be 20 now and not 38. That this would be a more integral part of my upbringing. But this is just, yeah, it's just thoughts that somehow cross my mind sometimes. But in general, I am, I'm really happy to explore it also for myself, because it has been such an important part of my being since I remember myself. Since I was going to kindergarten, I was confronted with this gender binary, and I never felt right about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to place myself there into the system. And so what I wrote in this artist statement was that I will read it.
Mm-hmm.
In dreams as a kid, I saw myself writing a fictional autobiography book in a gender neutral language. I truly wish that there would be something else out there. I initiated the creation of this map, first of all, for my inner child, simply to say, yes, there is something else out there.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Like, I don't know what to say, because you felt this uncomfortableness. Like, you felt everything from your childhood. So this is just about the binary system. The binary world where even the kids don't feel comfortable. So I'm proud of you, actually, because you remember everything and you wanted to do something and you did everything, like you're still doing sharing your thoughts and sharing your feelings is very important, and sharing your story. Your stories from your childhood, that's really important. So yeah, like, I'm proud of you. If you want to add something more, I would ask you about, maybe you would give some messages or ideas or whatever you want to add to empower others to do, to be more neutral and to speak up about the binary system and about the problems, like whatever you want, just some messages and some empowerment to our listeners.
That's an interesting question. I was actually thinking now about something else, but then we would need to edit it. Because you were asking me, it's in the list of questions, but I don't think I replied to it.
Which one?
To explain what gender means. I don't know, do I need to actually do it or not? Because I understood that we already went.
Because you have talked about gender, so I decided to not ask about it. But if you want, you can answer, and then I will edit and put your answer in the right place, so we can add it.
I mean, I can talk about it, and then you can see if you want to use it or not.
It's your podcast. I'm just preparing.
Yeah, I guess it depends who's gonna listen.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, I think first of all we have to say what is gender, and then we will the listener must understand what is gender. And then what is non-binary? What is the other gender? That's why I included this question in the questionnaire.
Right. So I'm going to talk about it. And gender is defined as a cultural and societal construct connected to biological sex. So in English, it would be, you could say that male or female connects to biological sex.
Mm-hmm.
But, and of course, then you should not forget that they are also intersex people. So on the level of biology, this is already not binary. But beyond this, there are terms man and woman. And if you go to a search engine and type man or the type of woman, we see people who are dressed in a particular way, who have particular hairstyle, who have particular makeup. And this is gender. We don't see a penis or vagina if you go to search engine and type man or woman. So this all that comes, that's all that society associates with particular biological sex, and it's important to, I believe, to see the difference between those things, because I feel like for some people, this is mixed. Like my grandmother, for example, she says, she's 91, she says, I don't like gender. This is something from US.
You're a gender.
So, I mean, there is, I mean, there is some kind of attitude towards this word gender,
mm-hmm.
in particular places, right? And so the work that we have in the museum is mostly connected to this gender roles or gender identities. It is not per se connected to sexuality, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting to see that in some societies there were also separate identities or genders for intersex people.
Mm-hmm.
So people were acknowledged and recognized for who they are without being pushed into what they're not, into particular binary system. And then when we talk about binary gender, it is men and women, and then there this term non-binary evolved, which means neither man or woman or both. So a personality that includes both men and women, or somebody who is on the spectrum and being fluid on the spectrum. So this is a kind of very broad umbrella term that evolved, and it is becoming more and more popular.
Can you tell about you a little bit, like personally, not about your work, like the listeners would imagine, like, who are you? Because this is podcast and we have to make it as visual as we can. That's why.
Right.
If you want.
My name is Masha Roa. I'm based in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, but I was born and raised in Russia. For 15 years I live in the Netherlands, and for the last more than 10 years I was working full-time as an artist, contemporary mixed media artist. I traveled quite a lot for my work, and through one of the trips I got to Yerevan. I since childhood I had struggles with identifying as a woman. I mean, I was understanding this is how society sees me, but I didn't necessarily see myself this way, or like as a girl or as a woman. There were some periods when I was thinking, oh, I probably really want to be a boy, but then I thought, okay, but maybe if I would be born with a penis, I would actually be dreaming of being a girl. So I felt like I was struggling.
Yes. I feel you. Like, okay, if you change your sex, and then you will question your other sex, because we are living in a binary system, and like it keeps us under pressure, and it's hard to understand ourselves. So yeah, I feel you. Like I've struggled about my gender. Am I boy, like man or woman? And then I found out that we have a lot of gender, so I can be fluid and I can do whatever I want. So, or on the other hand, it's not important to identify as a, for example, non-binary or genderqueer, or so I'm a human. So then I decided to take this position. I'm a human, and sometimes I can feel woman, sometimes I can feel man, sometimes I can feel trans, sometimes I can feel whatever I want. It depends of my feelings. So I decided to be fair to myself. So yeah, I just wanted to say that I feel you.
Yes, that's true. I mean, it's beautiful to be in a place where this is possible to a certain extent, because of course we are living in society which is quite gendered, and then it starts clashing, and especially I really struggled since childhood, and I was trying to find my place in it, and when I started using gender-neutral language. I felt empowered, but at the same time, I had much less tolerance to the things I had tolerance before, or I could learn to embrace. And I started feeling a lot of like anger and resistance and resentment and feeling really necessity to speak up about my experiences and also strengths to do it. But at the same time, it was not easy because, as I said, I struggled a lot with press, and I felt sometimes really disappointment when people would tell me, yes, of course, we are going to make it gender neutral. We completely get it. We know how to do it. And then they just don't. But I think I also learned in this to be more kind to journalists and also towards myself, because this is something that we have been taught for so many years. So I also listened to interviews to myself in Russian. And while I really thought for a long time about Russian language as gender neutral and how can I formulate things, I would sometimes make a mistake when I talk about myself. Mm-hmm. And then if I misgender myself, then how can I be angry at other people? Who are making those mistakes. And I mean, of course, it's different if they do it on purpose or not. I guess in this process, I also learned being kinder to myself as well. And I think also what is interesting, I heard about gender neutral language for the first time more than 10 years ago. And this has been a journey for me to first to understand why people, because even when I heard first time about it, I didn't know yet how to place it and how important it is going to be for me. Because I wasn't really not learned to do it. And it has been a journey, it has been many years, so I understand that for somebody who heard about it last year and who doesn't have non-binary experiences, it might be very challenging to start implementing it.
It's like I learned about gender. You told me you're not going to this now.
I remember now.
When I learned about gender neutral language and about the neutral pronounces, so I had to practice it, because first of all, okay, you're getting aware about the existence of these pronouns, like the idea of that, but then you need to practice. So yeah, I don't think now I'm doing it. I'm doing it very well, because sometimes even for me, who is a person who identify himself as a queer, sometimes even for me it's hard to experience to practice this non-binary of this pronounces.
You know, I sometimes do have fear that I misgender people, because I talk so much about importance of it, and then when I speak to people, sometimes I'm like, oh, did I misgender somebody now? So I have also this kind of anxiety about it too. And I feel like, okay, this is a part of process. And this also, this looking at myself and reflecting on myself, it also helped me to be kinder to people around me, because there were also periods where I was very angry about misgendering. And now I feel more... more calm about it, I think. And let's see how it evolves. I wanted to add one more thing. Okay, now we're jumping from topic to topic, but I hope it can all become a narrative. So what I found very important in this research is that I see that in a lot of places, historically, people falling outside of binary of man and woman were also having particularly important roles in society. And these people were really celebrated. And this is what I find very important to see and to read about, and I find it empowering, because there is a big difference between being celebrated and being tolerated.
That's interesting.
And right now we talk a lot about tolerance. In society, right? At least where I live, like in the Netherlands, this word tolerance is very like present. But how about celebrating people for who they are and seeing people's strengths? Like very often what I saw in records, and it's not necessarily always like this, but people falling outside of gender binary would take place in society of spiritual leaders, of healers, because this was also seen as particular strengths of being able to connect different worlds. And this I find really important to read about, to also think about my own role and position, and what am I doing in my life, and my work as an artist as well, like to connect to my core and my true self, because I feel like a lot of years of my life I've been busy with thinking of how can I fit into the system, how can I in the most comfortable and less harmful way for myself to just fit into the system. And now I understand that there are also other possibilities. But of course I understand it also through living where I live, through getting engaged into this conversation, through reading, through talking to people. If I would be in a different context, I don't know how my life would be. Maybe I will just add one thing. Let's see if it's going to be useful or not.
Okay.
On the exhibition, there is also an interview with a trans activist and artist from Ghana, Wabene. And she is talking about various gender roles in Ghana, in different ethnical groups in Ghana, in different tribes. And she also talks about her own experiences and this idea of identity. And she said a very important thing is that even if there was no language to define herself, it doesn't mean that she doesn't exist. And this language, like this terminology, like non-binary, like the search for identity, it's actually, I feel like it's looking for confirmation that actually I exist, that people like me exist. And for me, this research was this type of reassurance. I mean, it's very interesting because of course, I kind of already know, but there is still a part of me that doesn't know. Or maybe knows, but doesn't really feel it deeply or doesn't believe it. And it's, yeah, it was important for me to remind myself in it. And what I find also now beautiful evolvement of this project, that we had an event in Femme Library yesterday and somebody came from Gender Studies and they took a few of this publication for study material for students.
That's cool. So
so it's an art project, but it also has some other spin-offs.
Yeah, of course. So you're destroying the binary system. Thank you, Masharu, for talking a lot about your work and sharing your thoughts with us. It is, I think, and I'm sure that it is very important to talk about not only non-binary, but also about the gender diversity and about the existence of human beings, which who can be in different ways like they can have genders or they can't have like or they will not want to have like all these for me is about to question everything, like to question the binary system we are living right now. So thank you one more time.
Thank you so much, Adam, for invitation to this podcast and your attention for my work, and also 2 years ago and now again. And I really want to say that I really hope to come back to Armenia again. Yeah, really.
Whenever you want.
Had such an amazing time here talking to people and exchanging about this subject. And I feel like it was also a really meaningful journey from me on a personal level, mm-hmm. as well as professional.